Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about false religion and a lot of the ideas that creep in that are really damnable heresies. A good heresy always has a certain element of truth to it, because that's what a good lie is. And there's a lot of truth out there that is in the Bible that can be easily twisted because of language, because we lack understanding of history, because we don't really want to know the truth. That's really what it comes down to, because Christ said he was going to build his church upon this rock of divine revelation. Not Peter's divine revelation, but your divine revelation. You're going to have his laws written on your heart and upon your mind. He's speaking to you right now, but the question is, are you listening? And how do we know if you're listening? Do we even really need to know if you're listening? Well, we might, if we're going to associate with you and work with you, because you might not be listening to God at all. You may be listening to evil sources, or you may be just going off on your own vent. And how do we know you believe? Because you tell us? Well, the liars of the world could tell us that they believe. So how do we know? And, I mean, there are some real damnable heresies that allow people to be workers of iniquity that will be cast out, though they say they believe. Now, this is the most important person that this is important to is you, because you need to know whether you really believe or not. I mean, you think you really believe, but there are people from one end of the universe to the other, from one end of history to the other, that believe they were right and they were wrong. And you could be one of those that believes that you believe. And you actually don't believe. You don't even know. And this is the way it was when Christ talks about those workers of iniquity, that he says, get ye from me. I know you not. He knew them not because they knew him not. They were not in communion with him. They were in communion with something. But it wasn't Christ. And many shall come in my name, but he knows them not, because they are workers of iniquity. Workers? We don't have to be workers. We just have to believe. We don't have to do any works. We're not saved by works. We're saved because we believe. But do you believe? You tell me you believe with your lips. You say, Lord, Lord. But do you really believe? And this is really what it comes down to. And actually, some of the things I wanted to talk about as I came across these monthly statistics and snapshots of the economy and of, for instance, Social Security. How many people are on Social Security today? 62 million people. Actually, over 62 million people are on Social Security. About 40 million of those people are age 65 or older. And that's what we usually think of as Social Security, people who are older than 65. But there's 14 million people that are on disability, and another 7 million that are on other reasons why they're getting Social Security checks. And of course, everybody needs to know that if you get a Social Security check, you're not getting back the money you paid in. You're getting money that is borrowed from the future of your children and your grandchildren, because there is no money in Social Security. Not one dime of money is in a Social Security fund. It does not exist. I don't care what they lead you to believe on the news. It is absolutely without question in the law, ruled time and time again, there's no earmarking of funds. So if your country is in a deficit, whatever country it is, whatever system you use for social welfare, is taking money away from the future of your children, who you probably signed up for that same social welfare system in your area, which was, and for those of you who don't know, is what they call Corban in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Corban is the system whereby you sacrifice something to help take care of the needy of your society. That's what Corban was. It means sacrifice, and it was to be done by charity, and if it was done through a charitable means, it means that you draw near God, because you're doing it out of love. And that's why the same word that we see for sacrifice, Corban, also comes from a word that means to draw near. So this is the way Israel did it. They did it with free will offerings, took care of all the needy of their society. They ran their government even through free will offerings. Yeah, you were supposed to tithe. Nobody kicked in your door if you didn't tithe. But the fact is, you got to choose who you were going to tithe to. And then they chose who they were going to tithe to. And then they chose who they were going to tithe to. And the entire government was run from the grassroots, ground up, because you maintained the power of how you were going to be taxed by yourself and who you were going to pay. And that was a free society. Anything other than that is not a free society. If somebody can tell you how much you have to pay in and force you to pay in, then you do not live in a free society, and you are not free. You are not free. You do not live in the land of the free or the home of the brave. You live in the land of the deceived. That's where you live. Because you think you are free, but you are not. And we've talked about that. But anyway, so we've got these millions, 60-some million people getting Social Security benefits. But those are not the only benefits that we have. We have lots of other benefits. And we'll talk about those eventually. Probably won't get to it all in this program, but we'll make reference to it. And we will eventually go on to that word you use, articles that we are writing, a series of articles we're writing for News of Views, on that word you use, which was the word religion. And most people don't know what religion means. They think that it means what they believe. And that's understandable, because that's what it says in the modern dictionary. But 100 years ago, it said something else. And 100 years before that, it said something else. It had to do with what you did, and what you did in relationship to your duty to God and your fellow men. That was religion. And that was your Corban. That was how you took care of your needy, how you fulfilled that duty. And of course, you have two ways to do that. One is by free will offerings, and the other one is by forced offerings. Forced offerings is what the Pharisees had gone to with their system of Corban. You signed up with baptism with the scribes, got a new Hebrew name that had a numerical value. It was written on a stone and registered in their books. And then if you needed benefits, if you needed help, you would generally go to the synagogue nearest you and show them the stone and say, this is what I need. And they would provide for you, and funds would be moving around throughout the empire to help you. But it would all go up to the treasury and then come back to the local congregation. That's not bottom up, that's top down. Because the decision as to what you're going to get doesn't come from your neighbor, but comes from a central government. And this is what the Pharisees and Herod had set up. And this is why they had money to build the temple in Jerusalem and the temple of Roma and other places. And we'll talk all about that in that series. But what's happened is that you've gone that same way in Corban. The Romans had Corban. They called it Q-O-R-B-A-N. And this was the free bread and circuses that destroyed the Roman Republic and made that Rome went from a free republic to an imperial democracy, and then just to a flat-out imperial power. And this all happened because of their free bread and circuses, the apathy of the people, the avarice of the people who wanted the benefits, loved the wages of sin. That's the wages of sin, those benefits at the expense of your neighbor through forced offerings. This is the synagogue of Satan, and we'll cover all that. But anyway, somebody sent me, saw it on Facebook, so I copied it, the little photograph into my notes here, and it says, "Dead to the law. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are become dead to the law by the body of Christ," Romans 7:4 and Romans 7:6. "But now we are delivered from the law, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." It says the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So again, are you one of those that believeth? And end of the law. What does it mean, end of the law? The law was nailed to the cross, all this kind of stuff. What law was nailed? Is it talking 10 Commandments? Because when Paul talks about the 10 Commandments, he calls it the entole, which is translated commandments, and references those 10 Commandments. When he says end of the law, he's not talking about the end of the 10 Commandments. He's talking about the end of the statutes and ordinances and traditions. The same word you see as traditions is also translated ordinances, of institutions such as the Sanhedrin, who could rule over you because you signed up for their system of Corban. You see, that's the end of the law he's talking about. All the little rules and regulations. Judea was becoming a highly regulated society because the people had applied for a welfare that was a snare. Paul talks about it. David talks about it before. What should have been for your welfare has become a snare. Put a knife to your throat if you be a man of appetite, it says in Proverbs, because and you sit and eat with a king because he serves you deceitful meats. How are they deceitful? They bring you into bondage. That's how Israel went into bondage. They applied to Pharaoh for benefits, you know, free bread that they would get for not working. They'd sell, first they sold all their money, and then they sold all their livestock, and then they sold themselves. "If you take care of us during the famine, we will give you 20%. It's a contract." And that was the contract in Egypt. Still the law in Egypt today, although the contract in most countries was not made by Joseph, so there is not a ceiling limit of 20%. They can take 20, 30, 40, 50, 60%, whatever they want to take. Some countries charge 75% income tax. That was a scene with Will Smith where he was being interviewed in a foreign country, I think it was Holland or someplace, and he was talking about taxes in America, and said that he didn't mind paying taxes. He thought that was good, and he asked what the taxes were there, and they said 75% income tax, and he said, "God bless America." He wasn't paying that much. But the reality is these crafty states, you are amazed that if you actually knew, I mean, you pay an income tax of whatever it is, 20-30%, but you also pay sales tax in many states. You pay gasoline tax. You pay property tax. You have both state and federal taxes. If you start adding it up and then realize that, of course, the commodities that you buy, the reason they are as expensive as they are, they had to raise the prices so they could pay their tax. So actually 20, 30, 40, 50% of the cost of an item is often taxes that are put on truck drivers and what have you. And some of it is reasonable excise tax. And but the fact is there's a tremendous, tremendous tax burden. And the reason why is because, you know, half of America is on food stamps. It's an unbelievable amount of people that are on food stamps. If they didn't have this electronic system of giving people out this food stamps, you would see the longest bread lines in America in the history of the world. But that would be really bad press, so they don't want that. But anyway, we got guys taking, you know, Paul in Romans 10:4, and then which we just quoted, and then in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, he's not talking the Ten Commandments here. He's talking about the curse of these laws that we go under because we eat at the table of rulers and we do eat with great appetite, and because we don't realize that what should have been for our benefit is really a snare and has brought us under this law of Corban, where we are compelled to pay the Corban to take care of the needy of our society. John the Baptist talked about it clearly, and everybody seems to miss it. He says, you know, they asked him how his baptism worked. They knew that Herod had been baptizing people into the kingdom of heaven for quite some time. They knew that. Most Christians have no idea that John the Baptist was not the first to be baptizing people into the kingdom. But he was the first to be baptizing with a distinction. Because when you got baptized by Herod's ministers, who went all over the Roman Empire to baptize people into the kingdom of Herod, kingdom of his idea of utopia, when you got baptized there, you had to pay in. And there were statutory limits, and there was amounts, and there was penalties if you didn't pay in. It wasn't like, you know, well, I'll pay in, and if I decide not to pay in, then I won't pay in. You had to pay in. Once you signed up, you had to pay in. And John the Baptist was saying, no, you don't have to pay in, but you have to be charitable. If your neighbor has no coat and you have two, share. So this is the distinction between the baptism of Jesus Christ and the baptism of John the Baptist and that baptism offered by the ministers of Herod when he signed you up at the local temple of Jerusalem or Roma so that you could go to any synagogue and get benefits if you had a need. But that made the word of God to none effect because it wasn't based on faith, hope, and charity. It wasn't based on love. You see, and the rule is, the law is, all the law hinges on these two things. Love God and his righteousness and his ways, and to love thy neighbor as thyself, which means you need to take care of your neighbor's needs based on that love, not based on a contract, an agreement. What agreement would you have with people who don't believe in that? Living by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. This is what Paul's talking about. He's saying perfect law of liberty. He's saying faith, hope, and charity. He's saying love thy neighbor as thyself. And so when you go back to the quotes where he talks about the law of the body of Christ made us free, he's talking about the people that are doing that, that are taking care of the needy through faith, hope, and charity. But we have these damnable heresies that sneak in. That these guys believe is the gospel of Christ. And they say things like, in Romans 16:25, we see, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now, somebody is misinterpreting that somewhere. Now, how is it misinterpreted? And what is the true interpretation? Was Paul's gospel, was it a mystery revealed exclusively to Paul? It says it was kept secret since the world began. Now, of course, that world began, that doesn't necessarily mean planet. The word is aeon there, and it means age. Since the beginning of the age. What age was that? You know, when does this age start? He doesn't say. Now, you can conjecture in and imagine that. You know, it begins at Romans 16:25, begins now to him that is of power. Dunamai is the word there, power. There's several words that are translated power. And it about 100 times it has to do with being able, that someone who is capable of. Even the word now is from two different words, one of which means now, means age, the time, now, this time, since this time began. Is what he's really saying. It's that simple. It's not since the, you know, creation of the world and, you know, the 6-day creation. He's just saying from this age, this time period, to establish you according to my gospel. You know, now, gospel, what does that mean? That means a reward or good tidings. My gospel. Reward or good tidings. It's not a story. It's not my story. It's my good news. I got some good news to tell you. It's mine because it was given to me. I'm not making up a new one. I'm telling you the one. And he says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's something that was kind of hidden from the beginning of the age, not the beginning of the planet, which was kept secret from everybody. Or for some. Is Paul the only one who knows this? Well, we'll see later that Paul is not the only one who knows this. That all the prophets knew it too. And it says so right in the Bible. But it's a mystery to many people. So it's a mystery. You know, it doesn't have to be a mystery to everybody in the universe. But it's a mystery to somebody. So it's a mystery. Anyway, he says, kept this secret, kept silent, didn't know. But there were people who were telling you, but a lot of people didn't hear it. It was secret because they didn't hear. They didn't have ears to hear. Since the world began, again, we see that word world began, referring to, but again, it's the word aeon. It's a period of time. It's not the planet. It's the beginning of the age. So there was this period where people didn't understand, and that's why they all jumped on the Corbin bandwagon of Herod and the Pharisees, because they didn't understand. That's true today, because we have set up new Corbin systems right under the nose of the church, and the church didn't see it because the church is filled with ministers who are blind guides. They are not hearing the truth. They are not hearing the way. They are not hearing the light. They're seeing the light of the truth. This reference to without a beginning, or an end, that which always has been, always will be. In Galatians 1:11-12, it says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's of course what he said he would build his church on, but it doesn't say that he is the only one who has received this revelation. Blessed are you, Peter, because you know this not because flesh and blood has revealed it to you, not because of the knowledge of man, but divine revelation. And that's the rock upon which he will build his church. And we'll tell you more about that rock when we return to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how's this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, we're back. So we're one of the people that wrote me that was talking about Paul teaching a different gospel other than Christ. That Paul was he actually even stated that the apostles weren't doing the job, so that he called on Paul and gave Paul a new gospel to give to people. And this is how far off people can get, that now all you have to do is believe, you don't have to do anything. Because they weren't doing it, so now supposedly he gives Paul the license to tell people not to do anything and just believe, and you save yourself by your thoughts. Because you think you believe, you're saved. Paul was aware of the kingdom gospel, according to this individual. He hated and persecuted it until Christ appeared to him in Acts chapter 9. The reality is Paul was not aware of the kingdom gospel. He is aware of this Christian movement, of these people who were denouncing the Sanhedrin and the rules of the Sanhedrin and saying there is another king, and had received the baptism of Christ and were cast out of the Corban system set up at the temple. And now they, at Pentecost, they had to formulate a new system overnight that would take care of the needy and the daily ministration, which we see talked about before chapter 9 in Acts. They were now going to be taking care of the needy through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, just as John the Baptist had said, just as Christ was saying, just as we see the apostles doing, rightly dividing not only the word but the bread from house to house and setting up a system of daily ministration to take care of the widows, orphans, and needy of their society in pure religion. Now that you know that religion is not what you think but what you do, you see how this damnable heresy has crept in to say that all you have to do is believe. Now the truth is, all you have to do is believe, and you are not saved by works. That is actually the truth. But if you don't explain what you're supposed to believe in, you may not be believing in the way and the truth and the light. You may not be believing in Jesus Christ. And you need to turn around and start really believing. Now, how do we know if you believe, and how do you know if you believe or not? And that's what we're going to be covering. This individual goes on to say the gospel committed to Paul, he calls it my gospel. Does he call it his gospel because no one heard it until Jesus Christ revealed it to him? So that's the question he asks. Or actually, I'll ask that question. Does he call it my gospel for that? You know, Paul didn't even write Romans. It was written by somebody else, and it says so right in Romans, that somebody else actually penned it. Now, it was penned through the authority of Paul and through the words of Paul, but somebody else evidently penned it. And this was true with a number of the epistles, and they tell you right in it that somebody else penned it and wrote it out. But when he's talking about my gospel, that's the gospel, the good news that I have to deliver to you, is the good news that I was given to deliver to you. And Peter even talks about the fact that Paul has good news that he's going to deliver to you that is hard to understand. And there are many very simplistic people who don't really want to do what Christ said to do, because Christ said to do lots of things. Hundreds of times Christ said to do this and not to do that. And if you believe in Christ, he says you will be doing these things and not doing these things. So when he says my gospel, is he talking about a different gospel other than the gospel of Christ? No. He even says that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He even says that it's the gospel of Christ he's preaching. In Romans 16:25, we see now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, to him, who's him? And the preaching of Jesus Christ, that's it. That's what he's preaching. That's his gospel. That is my gospel, is his gospel, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, since the age began. Secret, the mystery, to him even, to Paul even. He knew about Christianity, but it was a mystery to him because he did not understand, and he could not understand without the revelation of Christ. And you can't understand either without the revelation of Christ. But there are plenty of men out there who will want to make you think you believe, and they will guide you away from the path, the way of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That's, and the guy puts in bold when he writes my gospel, because he's like, this is something different than what Peter and the others are preaching. It's not. And he, of course, he emphasizes raised from the dead, but why not emphasize the seed of David? Because if Jesus Christ is the seed of David, then Jesus Christ is king. And of course, that's what Christ means, Messiah, anointed king. He's the king. These are the ones that say there is another king. That's the Christians. But the modern Christian doesn't think of Jesus as the king. They may give him lip service, but if they really want the services of government, they don't go to Jesus. They go to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. And Paul is constantly saying you don't go to them. You don't go to them for justice. You don't go to them for bread. You don't go to them for benefits. You don't sit and eat with rulers. You know, because he knows that what they offer as welfare is a snare. And he says so. He points it out. But these born-agains who think they believe don't get that. They miss that. And you can see by what they're obsessed with, the little bits and pieces they take out of the context of Paul, out of the context of Christ. But really what gives them away is the fruit of what they're doing, because they are workers of iniquity. And they don't really even know the gospel. It's still a mystery to them. Oh, they do lots and lots of studying. But they have to, in order to come up with all kinds of convoluted ideas that keep them from seeing what is so obvious. He writes in here, 1 Timothy 1:11, quoting it, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And the guy emphasizes my trust, puts in capitals. It doesn't say that exclusively to my trust. He's the only one who knows. Like I said, Peter's even saying our brother Paul, who's going to talk to you about things that are difficult to understand, and he warns them. Why? Because he knows, too. It's committed to his trust, too. The truth is committed to the trust of all the prophets. And that's that. It's as simple as that. He goes on to say, things that are different are not the same. Where does it say it's different? Paul says it's the gospel of Christ. My gospel doesn't mean that my gospel is different than Christ's gospel or Peter's gospel. Peter and the 12 were charged with teaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel was not a mystery to them. It's not a mystery to me. But it seems to be a mystery to a lot of these people who think they believe. Because, and how we know that is they're not doing what Christ said to do. And they're not keeping his commandments. And he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So even though they say they believe in Jesus and they love him, and they're not keeping his commandments, then I got a problem with their belief. And they need to take another look at what they think they believe. Because you cannot save yourself by what you think. It's the truth that sets you free. Acts 3, verse 18 to 21, it says, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets and Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out. Be converted. Well, I thought we just had to believe. Well, we have to be changed some way so that your sin could be blotted out. What kind of an example is that? Well, I'll give you one in a minute. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken of by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So it wasn't a mystery to everybody. It was a mystery, but it wasn't a mystery to everybody. Many people knew it. Many people understood it. Paul understood it. Peter understood it. Thousands understood it at Pentecost. But thousands and thousands and thousands of more did not understand it, so it remained a mystery. You see, that's how something can be understood by some and not understood by others, so therefore it still remains a mystery, but not to everybody. And nowhere does Paul says it's a mystery to everybody. This is all conjecture in the mind of the person who is privately interpreting the words to fit his eschatology. And we have to stop doing that. Is it true that the gospel of the kingdom is on hold and it is not at hand? When did that happen? Was Jesus Christ a king when he was born? This day a king is born to the Jews. He was a king. Was he recognized yet? Did it change the fact that he was a king? No. He was a king when he was in the manger. He was a king. He was a king when he was 12 in the temple. He was king before he rode into Jerusalem on an ass. He was king. He was the highest son of David. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You're supposed to be seeking it. It's a process. The gospel of the kingdom is to seek the kingdom, not sit on your rear end and say you believe. You don't know what the early Christians were doing, and you're not doing it. And you don't know because you think you know. You're not listening to what he's telling you you need to do. Paul tells you what you need to do. Over and over and over and over again. You need to be doing. Are you saved by works? No. But these guys who are obsessed with, not by works, oh, that's works. All you have to do is believe. They are using that, and this is the sin. They're using that so that they don't have to tend to the weightier matters that Christ lists off. They think their salvation is assured because they think when Paul says us, he's talking about them. They haven't repented. Like I said, are you forgiven your sins? He says, Christ died for our sins. So he says our sins, like he's one of the our, one of the us. Well, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, neither will my Father forgive you. You see, if you're not forgiving, then Christ didn't die for your sins. He only died for those sins of those who will forgive. You see, because that's how you're forgiven. You have to forgive. And then Christ didn't die for those who aren't forgiving. He tells you parables about the guy who owed a debt and the master forgave the debt. And then that guy went out and beat others who owed him money, and he didn't forgive the debt. And so what did the master do? He came and he took that guy by the scruff of the neck and cast him into the dark dungeon. You see, you think that you're saved because Christ died, and that's true. But if you don't listen to the rest of the story, he didn't die for you unless you forgive. you're still going to the dungeon. You're still going to be cast into the pit because you haven't forgiven. You just think Christ died for you, so you think you're saved. He died for those who forgive, not for those who do not forgive. He died in hopes that those who do not forgive repent, turn around, and start forgiving. Nobody earns salvation. But you can bar yourself from it by not repenting and turning around and going the other way. This is the message of the gospel. Repent and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you're not going to repent, you're not forgiven. So there's your doing. There's a doing you cannot neglect. Romans 11:16. It says, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. It's almost like double talk. The fellow who actually wrote this is following the style that we often see with Paul. But the reality is, yes, you're saved by grace, but if you're not doing works, you're not saved. And you know you're not saved because you're not doing the works. Because if you loved him, you would keep his commandments. You see, it's simple. It's not complicated. Acts 10:34-35. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I receive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Of course, this individual does away with Peter, even though this is Acts 10, long after Acts 6 and Acts 9. He's talking worketh righteousness. If you're not working righteousness, you don't believe in Jesus. And that's how you know you don't believe in Jesus. And that when you say you believe in Jesus and there's still workers of iniquity, then you're a liar. You've lied to yourself and you've lied to others. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Is accepted with him. That's the us. If you're not the us, then Paul's not talking to you. Paul taught in Titus 3:5-6, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Okay, if you're not doing those works of righteousness, then you're not the we that he's talking to. You got that? You're the workers of iniquity that don't even know Jesus Christ, though you think you come in his name. Though you say you believe. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Us. Because we have done the works of righteousness. Not perfectly. We didn't earn salvation. It's still a gift. It's still by grace. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We are renewed. We are doing things differently. We are not going the same way we went before. We have repented. We have gone, turned around and gone the other way. Which he shed on us abundantly through Christ, Jesus Christ, our Savior. He sheds on you because you have repented. If you don't repent, you're not saved. If you don't change your ways, you're not saved. If you're not working righteousness, you're not saved. Not by works of righteousness are you saved, but the works of righteousness are evidence that you have been saved. You see, that's what you have to do. Things, he goes on and says again, things that are different are not the same. That's right. If you're not working righteousness, you're something different. You're not a believer in Christ. You're just a person who says they believe in Christ. You're what Jesus referred to as those who say, Lord, Lord, but do not do the will of the Father. You need to repent and turn around. The Bible does not contradict itself. Absolutely true. All things are written for us and are profitable, but all things are not written directly unto us. That's right, because you're not doing the deeds of righteousness. You are coveting your neighbor's goods through the agencies of the governments that you have created. You exercise authority one over the other with your votes, with your democracies, with your systems of Corbyn and social welfare. You sit and eat with rulers who exercise authority and say, give me more benefits. You say, I want my Social Security check. I want my welfare. I paid in. I know there's nothing left in there for me. It was all squandered away by moths that ate it up and robbers and thieves that work within the system. Billions upon billions upon billions of dollars are missing from the treasury of your temples. And you don't know what happened to them. They don't know what happened to them. And nobody's even hardly looking. It's all gone. The money you paid in was squandered and wasted. Like the prodigal sons you are, repent, turn around, come back together and start providing the coats for your neighbor and the needs for your neighbors through faith, hope, and charity in pure religion. Or you're not saved. Because you're a worker of iniquity. You're the slothful that should be under tribute. The Bible does not contradict itself. Rightly divide the word of truth now. The Bible must be divided dispensationally, he says. I don't agree with that. It should not be divided dispensationally. There is one gospel. Did you ever hear that written in there somewhere? Ephesians 3:16, for this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. A prisoner of Jesus Christ. He's preaching the same gospel. If ye have heard of the, now he uses the word, dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, ward. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand. Ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You may not understand, and in this case, he has not understood. And I don't blame him, because it's not my place to blame him. The reality is, there's a bunch of damnable heresies that have crept in out there, and people do not understand the true message of the gospel. And they have been deceived. And we're going to talk about this for a little bit, because this deception just goes on, layers and layers and layers of it. Which in other ages, that's that word ages, didn't say in other worlds, that would sound too, Star Trek-y. In other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Many of the sons of men were not made known to, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. Not just to Paul, to the others. Yet it's still a mystery to sons of men who have not received the revelation in their hearts and their minds. And many of them profess to be Christians, but are still workers of iniquity. And we'll understand more about that in the next show of Keys to the Kingdom. So hang in there and keep listening. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.com. www.hisholychurch.net.